Hello, this is Nick Hood, and today I want to devote this podcast to 4,000 weeks. You may ask, 4,000 weeks of what? Oliver Berkman has written a book entitled 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. And it got me thinking, you know, and why does he say 4,000 weeks? He's divided the average lifespan for an American in by, you know, 52 weeks, and the average lifespan is 76.9 years. So if you multiply those two numbers together, you come up with 4,000 weeks. And his question is, what do you have to show for yourself over 4,000 weeks? And so as I began to think about this, I thought back to the Bible, where Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, he says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So again, as I think about this book by Oliver Berkman, 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals, the question the author raises is a very powerful question. It's simply this. If you know you only have 4,000 weeks to live, what will you do with this time? And the more we realize that you only have roughly 4,000 weeks to live, some people live much less than that. I had a brother and a sister who only lived to about 35, 36 years of age. I had another brother to die this past summer, and he only lived to be 58 years. And so time and the management of time becomes all the more important. I went to see one of the elderly members of my church last week, Dorothy Holloway. Mrs. Holloway turned 100 years of age this week, and had written a list of talking points for our conversation. I was so amazed when I went to see her. She lives in a nice apartment in Southfield, Michigan. The apartment is very tidy. Now, she is fortunate. She has, you know, a woman who's there to help her to keep it tidy and also to cook. But I was just struck with the thought that Mrs. Holloway is 100 years of age. She looks like she's in better shape than a lot of people my age. And the funny thing is, she invited me to sit down at her little table, like a card table, and she specifically had a seat she wanted me to sit in. So I dutifully sat in my seat. I said, how do I tell a woman who's 100 years of age that I have the nerve to sit someplace else in her at her table? But I noticed on her end of the table, she had a little piece of paper, and she had about six or seven notes, points. And as we began to talk, she would steer me and lead me in the conversation through the talking points on her little piece of paper. And all I could think of was, I said, you know, if we only have 4,000 weeks to live, and certainly Mrs. Holloway has lived past her 4,000 weeks, I said, I don't think Mrs. Holloway wanted me to waste her time. And so she had everything she wanted to say listed out, scheduled out, written out on a piece of paper. And I think one of the, you know, and I learned from that. And I looked at that and I said, if Mrs. Holloway can think this well, if she can keep her thoughts as organized as she has at 100 years of age, then I'm going to try to take notes from that. But to me, one of the saddest things we can do in life is to waste time. We waste time on several different levels. Sometimes we waste our time because we simply do not take time seriously. Other times we continue to make the same mistakes. For example, I'm a belated cook. I just started cooking. And this number I'm going to tell you may sound like a long time. I've been cooking about 17 or 18 years. I know that because I started cooking about the time when our stove crashed and just gave out, and we bought a new stove. And the new stove was so nice and inviting and encouraging. I decided that I wanted to help my wife out and try to start cooking. And I make mistakes all the time. But I try not to repeat the same mistake. And to me, if you repeat the same mistakes, you are wasting time. For example, last week, I began to work on making avocado toast. Now that sounds very sedity, may sound very hankty, but I thought it would be healthy. You know, all the things I'm reading say avocado is good for you. And so I've been working with the avocado toast. And in working with the avocado toast, you know, I want to put a little bit of white onion, a little bit of green onion. If I'm really living large, I want to put a colored potato. And by colored potato, what I mean is a red or a yellow or, you know, orange potato, maybe a green potato. not potato, but a pepper. Into that avocado toast. And I want to add a little bit of red pepper. I will also want to add some turmeric, maybe cumin. And then, my staff person at the church, Henrietta Carson, told me that she eats that many days a week, but she adds egg to it. I had never thought about adding egg to the avocado toast. But the point that I'm making is that I'm just trying to improve. And something as simple as an avocado on toast may not seem like a big deal, but you have to remember, I'm a guy who's only been cooking 17 years, and I haven't been cooking seriously 17 years. Most of those 17 years, I've been making cookies and cake. But in life, if we're going to make the most of those 4,000 weeks, we have to realize that you can mess up in the kitchen. We make mistakes in love, mistakes at work, mistakes at home. But I'm just trying to be the best that I can. Some of us think that we will live our lives forever. We don't realize that, you know, the things that we put off to tomorrow, the things that we put off to next year or when we get a little older, may never happen. And it may never happen because we do not develop our skills. I believe there's some people who don't allow themselves to dream. And if you don't allow yourself to dream, then how in the world can you grow? How in the world can you make the most of your 4,000 weeks? I had an opportunity last week to catch up with one of my classmates from high school, Kevin Tony. And Kevin Tony is a professional keyboard player. He played with an R&B band founded by Donald Byrd at Howard University called Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds. And Kevin and I are turning 70 years of age. I just turned 70 on Monday. Kevin will turn 70, I think, in a couple years. And what we talked about was, how do you live life with a zest for living? How do you make the most of your life? How do you make the most of your time, even when you've been successful? In his case, he's been very successful. He's living in large measure off of residuals that are accrued from music that he recorded maybe 50 years ago. And, you know, what we talked about was, how do you make the most out of life when you get older in life? But frankly, the same question is true for young people. We, at every stage of life, and I tell you, in my life, I mean, before I heard about this man's book, Berkman's book, 4,000 Weeks of Life, I've been trying to make the most out of every day of life. And you don't have to be the richest person in the world to be excited about life. But all you need to realize is that life at every stage can be wonderful. I think about Colin Powell, who died last week. And, the former Secretary of State, top general in the Army. But, you know, I knew a person who went to City College with him. I knew a person who went to high school with him. And when I asked her, what was he like as a student? What was he like as a young person? She just laughed. And she said, oh, he wasn't much of a student. But, you know, when I think about what Colin Powell's life mushroomed into, and I think about so many of our lives, I realize that, you know, people bloom, they blossom at different stages of life. I had breakfast this morning, lunch, with a small group of people in Detroit with Andrew Young. And Andrew Young is in town because the Cornerstone Schools are naming one of their schools after him. And you may not know this, but Andrew Young and his brother Walter and his father, Andrew Young Sr., Dr. Andrew Young Sr., his brother Dr. Walter Young Sr., they are really the first male role models I had in life as a kid from New Orleans. And it's a long story. I won't bore you with it, but my father was the pastor of their church and the new pastor. He was only 27 years of age. My mother was 19. And, you know, they came to New Orleans in search of a better future, if you can believe that. And I like to tell people, I'm a love child because I was born in New Orleans to my parents who were just young and in love. And Andrew and his brother, you know, Walter, they claim that, I have no recollection of this, but they claim that when I was an infant, and I don't know why my mother and father allowed them to do this, but they said that when I was an infant, they felt that I looked so soft and so pretty that they wanted to toughen me up. And so they would throw me back and forth with each other. And I'm sure my mother was just horrified. I don't know if I'd let anybody toss my little child back and forth, but they did that with me. And so this morning at the luncheon, he and I laughed about that. And but then when we started talking about more serious matters, we talked about Martin Luther King Jr. He said, Nick, do you realize that when Martin Luther King Jr. was at Morehouse College, he got a C in his class on public speaking. When he went to, I think it was Crozier Seminary, to get his divinity degree before he got the doctoral degree, that he got a C in preaching. It's in the divinity school, they call it homiletics. Now here, Martin Luther King Jr. is probably the greatest preacher who's lived in the last century, but somebody has the distinction of giving him a C in preaching and C in public speaking. And the point that I'm making is that, you know, Martin Luther King mushroomed into a bigger than life person. And the person he morphed into, he mushroomed into, was a lot bigger than the person who got a C in homiletics and a lot bigger than the person who got a C in public speaking. And so the point that I'm making is that people can grow and often bloom at different stages of life. So I return to my question of 4,000 weeks. What are you doing with your 4,000 weeks? Are you growing or are you stagnating? Are you building up or tearing down? Are you developing or are you wasting? I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I'm trying to make the most of my 4,000 weeks. And all I want to do is to be a credit to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I try to live my life in a manner where I'm building up the faith, and I do not want to shame the faith. I want to live my life as a witness for Jesus. I want to bring people to Jesus. I don't want to scare people from Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus. I don't want to make people laugh at Jesus. I want to show people about Jesus and not to make people cynical about Jesus. And you know, I've never been more excited about life than this stage of life. You know, we talk about 4,000 weeks of life. I'm probably down to my last 1,000 weeks. But let me tell you what excites me. I'm at a stage of life right now where I'm trying to bring my church back from a pandemic. But in addition to bringing the church back from a pandemic, we had a major flood at the church on July 25th, 2021. And I am with a good team of people at the church trying to navigate bringing the church back to full worship. But I have four personal goals in addition to bringing the church back. Number one, I want to continue to record podcasts, just like what I'm doing right now. Number two, I want to write and publish a daily spiritual devotional. Some people call it a blog. I do that on WordPress.com, and I'm doing that right now. Number three, I want to continue to write books. I've written two books, An African-American Passover Celebration from Bondage to Freedom, and The Test, the Strength, the Endurance, and the Way Out, a book of prayers and colorful photographs. I want to continue to record and broadcast videos. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing that online right now. And all I really want to do is tell the world about Jesus. I may only have 4,000 weeks of life, but my friends, I'm trying to make the most of it. And so my encouragement to you is do the best that you can with the time that you have. Make the most of your life, make the most of your body, the most of your relationships, the most of your faith. And if you do that, your 4,000 weeks will be a credit to God and a blessing to you. This is Nick Hood. God bless. God keep you. And if you like this podcast, share it with a friend and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ.